Time for a new forklift? Well, let's kick the new year into high gear with a brand new Toyota forklift. Now through April 30th, you'll get up to a $2,500 rebate when you swap your old competitive branded forklift for a Toyota that delivers legendary efficiency. Don't wait. Trade up to Toyota now. Go to toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate to learn more or find the link in the show notes. That's toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate for your $2,500 rebate.
The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hey, it's Kevin Lawton with the New Warehouse Podcast. I am joined by Andrew Kelly, who is the Chief Commercial Officer at BoxLock today. BoxLock is offering a lock, as you might have guessed, but it's being used in a lot of different ways, not only in the last mile, but also in the first mile and the middle mile as well. So Andrew's going to talk to us a little bit about the BoxLock solution and what it is they do and kind of how that came about and how is it being received in the industry, not only from a B2C side, but also a B2B side. And we're going to get into that and talk a little bit about it. So Andrew, how are you today?
I am fantastic, Kevin. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to talk to you.
Definitely. Fantastic. I love it. You know, sometimes you say, how are you? And people say, oh, I'm good. I love to hear something a little more. You know, it's really good.
Yeah. So why don't you bring some energy?
Yeah, definitely. Especially in the morning, right? So why don't you tell us a little bit about, I guess, BoxLock, and for people that haven't heard of it, and then tell us a little bit too about how the idea came about. I'm interested to hear about that.
Sure. So, the idea for BoxLock came about, years ago when the founder's parents had packages stolen from their porch, and we figured there's just got to be a better way, right? And so the idea was to have a digital key that would enable a courier to deliver a lock so that they could, so the carriers could, keep it secure, right? Because if you buy it like a high-end gaming laptop, right, you don't want that stolen from your porch or... Right. You know, if you have certain medications that you have to take because you have a chronic disease, right, that really is something that you need to survive, right?
Definitely.
And then since then, on the B2B side, of course, there are other applications where this makes a lot of sense for securing things in healthcare and manufacturing and other places where digital keys make sense to, just protect items that are required for the workflow in the supply chain, really.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm thinking actually, as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about how, sometimes you would order something expensive, like you mentioned, and, you see the tracking and you're like, I got to be there to get it, because you're worried that something's going to be taken. And obviously, with the way things are now and things get delivered all different times of the day, it's inconvenient. So having some kind of secure way to deal with that is definitely an important thing. So definitely interesting. So the idea came about, you said, years ago, but you guys are fairly new, right? 2018 you were founded, right?
So founded in 2017, the product launched in 2018, right? And so all across the country there are locks at residences everywhere, and in enterprise, right, what we're focused on is figuring out enterprises that need 5 to 10 locks at a time, as opposed to houses that just need 1 or 2 locks at a time. And so, we're working hard at figuring out enterprise use cases and SMB use cases that make sense. So in healthcare, securing things like, radioactive, curatives for cancer or habit-forming medications or specimen samples. So, COVID-19 test kits or think biopsies in manufacturing, it's, high value items like, robots, which are typically in cages. in most manufacturing plants, but it also could be, you know, critical tooling or expensive finished goods.
Gotcha. Okay. Makes total sense. And I think that, you know, when you talk about, you know, the B2C side, I think it's pretty obvious, you know, that the solution is there, but a lot of people are not thinking about the first mile, middle mile part of it. So I'm glad you guys are addressing that as well. So why don't you talk to us, I guess, a little bit about how BoxLock itself kind of addresses those different security issues, like how does it work? Cause it's a lock essentially, right? But it's pretty smart lock as well. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about how it actually works and, you know, the capabilities that you're able to perform with it?
Sure. So effectively, our biggest competition right now are physical keys. And so we're effectively a digital key solution. And what that means is either a vertical barcode or 2D QR code can be used to open the lock, which has a scanner at the bottom, right? And, you know, each lock has a master key, but more importantly, a one-time use digital key can be pushed to a lock for someone who is not the owner of that lock, right? Because the owner of the lock, of course, you know, you want to be able to open it all the time. Yeah. However, if you are away, or if you are in a different location, or if there is someone coming to your location where, you know, either you don't want them on your network or you don't want them to have a key all the time, then you can have a one-time use digital key that allows them to get access to a location, right? And so in logistics, right, if a warehouse closes at 5 o'clock and for no fault of his own, the driver to come in and pick up something is delayed because there is an accident on an interstate, right? The disaster scenario for that driver is he gets there an hour after the cutoff, has to sleep there that night, as opposed to picking up that load and, you know, being on his or her way to the next destination, right? Which is a crazy thing, right? Yeah. Or, you know, the other thing that, you know, we're hearing about is, you know, medical records where, you know, you and I may have personal information that is in bank, physically in paper in banker boxes because it gets printed out from audit from time to time and it needs to be stored and it needs to be kept for a certain period of time, right? And so a break in the chain of custody on that information, which is personal and private, is a crazy thing to have happen without any kind of alerting, logging, or security. And so basically, we can secure any kind of cage, cabinet, locker that our lock can affix to and provide audit logging, who opened the lock, when they opened the lock, is the lock open or is the lock closed, and other information around it, right? And so there's really a broader Internet of Things play that we're looking at long term with our solution. And frankly, ultimately, I want to get to the point where we're really focusing on, you know, the monthly subscription for all of that. And, you know, at the point where we can actually give the locks away, right?
Interesting.
Because it's really the monthly subscription that I think customers really care about, right? That gives them that visibility, the audit log, kind of the peace of mind, and also, you know, helps with things like eliminating theft or diversion or shrinkage. Because, you know, those are real dollars they get to keep in their pockets.
Definitely, yeah. I think it's pretty interesting because we've talked about, you know, software as a service. We've talked about now robotics as a service, hardware as a service. And now it sounds like you're talking about locks as a service with the subscription. So I like that idea. And I really like the idea of being able to push out the one-time barcode to help unlock, or if you need somebody to come pick up something, or even, you know, I'm thinking on multiple different sides. Like, I just had a situation personally where, so I work as a distribution manager as well. So, I had to open and I forgot my key in my other car, for the gates, to open for the yard. And so I had to get a bolt cutter and cut the locks actually. So having it like on the phone and being it, or like on my employee badge or something, to be able to just unlock that would have been more convenient. And I think that makes a lot of more sense, and it does make it more convenient. Like you said, your competition is a key, right? But keys are essentially, I mean, they're dated, I would say, you know, if you're looking at technology like this, especially as you look at a facility where you have multiple keys for multiple doors, multiple things to do, all of a sudden you start to get this huge key ring when you could essentially put everything on one barcode or multiple barcodes, I guess, on your smart device. So it's really an interesting thing. And I like how it works. And I like that it uses a barcode because barcodes are, you know, so big within the logistics and supply chain industry just to move things around. And you're just kind of, like you said, you're tracking the audit log and tracking who's accessing certain things. Now, what about, and we're talking about, you know, tracking certain things, like what about in terms of how can people utilize this for, you know, you work in a warehouse where you have high value assets that you're shipping, but you have to pick them as well. Now, how can we utilize this to keep those high value assets secure, but then still give access to individuals who need to go in and pick those items for an order to be able to ship them?
Yeah. So it depends on the use case, right? Yeah. So, you know, if we're talking about, you know, an order of pillows, right, that's not a particularly high value item,
right?
At least not where I buy my pillows, you know? So, you know, if it's, so I was talking to a prospect yesterday and they're in the forward stocking logistics space and they ship cell phones. Right. And so, you know, in a very small volume, you could have tens of thousands of dollars of cell phones, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, each of them is a few hundred bucks at least. Right. And so in that solution, in that scenario, it's more about the finished good or the inventory, if you will. And so, that could be a parcel or a pallet or a whole room of cell phones, right? And so, you know, if it's a parcel, right, more likely than not, they're keeping it in a cage or a locker, right? If it's a pallet, more likely they're keeping it either in a large cage or in a room, right? And so we can secure that cage, that room, or kind of any confined space, right? And so that's relatively easy to do, I think, for, you know, further upstream in manufacturing. You know, we don't really have a play, like, sort of on the manufacturing assembly line itself, right? Mm-hmm. And so if, you know, circuit boards or, you know, other kind of, you know, electromechanical assemblies are kind of coming down the line and need to be touched every 30 seconds to, you know, be assembled into the cell phone, then, you know, we're not in that flow, right? It's more likely that we're going to be at the very front of the line or, you know, picking out the most expensive pieces, maybe the circuit boards, where they're all kind of housed in a cabinet, or at the end of the line where, you know, they've all been produced, they've all been QC'd, they're ready to go to retail, and you want to make sure that they're secured and they're not kind of walking out the door, right? Because, you know, they'll grow feet, right, if you let them.
Definitely. So now how does it, so I'm thinking, I guess, about how it works and, you know, how you could use it in these different processes. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. So how, talk to us a little bit about the integration and how, cause it can integrate now with different supply chain softwares and WMSs and things like that. So how does
that
work?
Yeah. So we've got a really flexible API that allows us to talk to different supply chain software packages, right? Whether that's ERP or WMS systems or HR systems. And so ERP or enterprise resource planning. So, you know, Oracle, NetSuite, those are some of the larger kind of, you know, better known household names. And there are others that we integrate with as well. And the reason for integrating with them is because that's how a lot of supply chains run, you know. On the WMS or warehouse management software side of things, you know, in the warehouse, right, where, you know, I think that apart from tooling, you know, the inventory itself, right, is the most valuable, you know, commodity. And that's what the warehouser is getting paid to sort of move through the cubic volume of the space, right? Mm-hmm. And so being able to understand how inventory increases and decreases is pretty important. And so being able to make API calls, you know, from and to a WMS system so that either the warehouser or the supply chain manager or, you know, whomever's in charge of inventory, like an inventory specialist, they have visibility in terms of the ebbs and flows and kind of what's happening. And we can provide additional digital intelligence at the point of that inventory or micro inventory. And then on the HR side of things, particularly if it's a high value or high criticality item, right? So I was talking to a prospect yesterday in the healthcare space, and you know, for certain cancer treatments, radiation is required. Radiation requires nuclear material. That nuclear material needs to be highly controlled. And so in a scenario like that, it's really making sure that we understand who is accessing that material, right? And so if someone is using a particular HR package like Workday, right, for their HR, you know, if that employee either has a badge associated with them, then we can tie that badge number to the opening of that nuclear locker to get out a piece of radioactive material to treat a cancer patient, right? And so that helps with that chain of custody of that critical material.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I think it's there's so many, like, it's I guess, you know, it's a lock, right? But there's so many different applications for it, and so many I think solutions that it can solve. It's pretty interesting. And it kind of, my mind is kind of, I guess, spinning a little bit thinking about all the different ways to apply it within like a distribution center. So it's definitely a really, really interesting and smart product, I think. And, it, you know, I guess I never would think you could take like a lock to the next level like this, which is pretty cool.
We'll be back after a quick break.
The future of work is constantly shifting. How can HR leaders stay on top of the latest trends to better lead their global workforce to success? Serva Soundbites podcast explores current trends and the hottest topics around global employee relocation and the future of work. We connect with industry experts, HR leaders, and innovative thinkers to share their insights and stories. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your business podcasts.
Yeah, so, you know, when I look at it, I see a digital key.
Right.
There's, you know, the physical manifestation of it is a lock. Like it's a, it, you know, you can hold it in your hand. It's about 3.5 pounds. So, you know, it kind of looks like a lock. But that's where I think the comparison to old school locks stop.
Yeah.
And it really is the digital key abstraction that lets me think about like what this could be. Right. So, you know, in automotive, you know, the digital key is manifested in push to start. Mm-hmm. Right. In hospitality, a digital key is manifested in opening up your door room with a key card. Right.
Right.
Now, both of those are examples of sort of near field communication. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's not exactly the same, but that same digital concept applied to you know, business to business is where we think there's a ton of opportunity. And of course, you know, we've just got some raving fans on the consumer side who just love their box locks and, you know, are telling all their friends and trying to get their whole block to use them and things like that. So, you know, we're kind of building off that kind of legacy on the B2C side to kind of launch in the B2B side, because we think that we can take advantage of both of those vectors of demand, right? Because so according to Pitney Bowes, I think last year Americans received about 21 or 23 parcels per person for the year. This year, obviously, a lot more e-commerce happening, right?
Yeah.
And so I expect that number to be more like 40, right?
Yeah.
And so that means that the instances of theft on the B2C side are probably going up. On the enterprise side, it's somewhat similar. And the reason is, you know, everyone is trying to figure out like how to, you know, make their world a little bit more contactless, right? And so the ability to sort of transfer assets without having to, you know, be within 6 feet of each other, that's becoming increasingly important. And so we've got a customer on the retail side where her customers are more comfortable where they can kind of walk up to her storefront and either pick up what they purchased online by popping a lock with their QR code, or if they have to return something because it wasn't quite the right size, they don't have to go in the store. They can, you know, get a sort of a digital key return so that they can return that, you know, oversized dress or, you know, undersized pair of pants, right? Just drop it in the locker, right? And then that's a way where her business can still transact as a brick and mortar business. It's just got this digital key at the storefront that allows for, you know, higher volume of traffic where it wouldn't be appropriate to have that many people sort of going and coming. as she might have had last year, right? But she still needs to generate revenue. She's still got bills to pay. She still has customers. She still has valuable merchandise for those customers. And so we're providing a way for her to not be at the same level as she was last year, but certainly to have much more foot traffic out at the front of her store than she would ever have otherwise.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. It definitely allows for more flexibility, like you're talking about with those different things. So, you know, with the, and you mentioned that, you know, definitely e-commerce is going to be up this year without a doubt. I mean, it's been growing every year, but with, you know, the situation with the pandemic and all these things and more people at home and stores just being closed, I'm curious, you know, throughout the pandemic, are you seeing higher demand for the box lock, like from the B2C side or any side at all, I guess? You know, are you seeing higher demand as people are utilizing e-commerce more?
We absolutely are, right? Because, you know, we're fundamentally helping people to, you know, have a better peace of mind and a better customer experience, right? And so on the residential or on the B2C side, right? So anyone can, you know, purchase a lock from either, you know, Amazon or Ace Hardware or Home Depot, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, put it on a bin, you know, on their property so that they can, you know, secure their solution, right? Now, we are a new technology, right? And so we are sensitive to the fact that some of the different UPS and FedEx drivers we talk to, they may make upwards of 250 to 500 stops, you know, in a day, right? Okay. That's a lot. That's a tough job, right? Yeah. And so, you know, them having to take an extra 5 or 10 seconds to, you know, scan and then pop the lock so that they can secure the item they leave for that particular customer, you know, that's, you know, adding, you know, minutes to their overall day, right? So, you know, we're sensitive to that. And so, you know, we're looking at ways that we can kind of streamline that a little bit, because what we know for sure is that, you know, even if, you know, COVID-19 had never hit, right? Yeah. E-commerce was always going to be more than just 10% of overall retail, right? We know where the trend for e-commerce is going, right? It's just really accelerated, right, in the last 3 months as a result of the virus.
Definitely. So I'm curious, actually, I'm thinking about, so how does, now I order something, and then how does the, I guess, delivery driver get the barcode to scan the lock?
Yeah. So the barcode is typically on the package itself, right? And so it's the scanning of the package that pops the lock that allows that driver to put the item inside of the parcel locker or the bin on a porch, as opposed to, you know, just leaving it there for anyone to pick up, right? So that barcode or QR code can be printed on the package directly from the e-commerce provider, or a lot of times e-commerce providers will use a third-party solution or like a third-party logistics provider or someone else who's kind of in the professional transportation business, because that's not really the business most e-commerce providers are in.
Right. So it's just essentially the tracking barcode that's on the label already, or is it a special barcode for the lock?
It is a lock specific barcode, right? Gotcha. Because there may be other barcodes on a particular package, and those barcodes may be needed either inside the warehouse for identifying that parcel relative to other parcels inside the warehouse, right? So the digital, because for example, let's say that you had 50 boxes on one pallet with that particular barcode that identified that parcel to be on that pallet. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not unique. Our digital key for that parcel to that home or to that business is unique, right? Okay. And so, you know, that unique parcel has information on the destination and on the lock itself, so that the parcel lock pair or sort of digital key handshake is unique for that particular parcel or that particular asset.
Okay, got it. All right. Yeah, that makes total sense. It's really interesting. I love the idea. I think that it's just going to grow even more. And I think it's really smart to, not only for the last mile, which is, I think, is like the initial thought, but, you know, as you guys are growing into this B2B space, I think there's so many other opportunities as well. So I'm interested to see how it kind of grows and the different solutions you guys are able to apply it to. So really good stuff. So how can people find out more information about BoxLock?
Sure. So we're putting out a ton of content, right? So our blog is probably the best place for the latest and greatest on what we're doing. Okay. And so that's at just getboxlock.com/blog, right? And so that's probably the best way. And then, of course, right, they can always reach out to me. You know, my dominant social is LinkedIn. Okay. And it's just Andrew Kelly.
All right, great. We'll put all that information on the newwarehouse.com as well. Now, what about if I want to buy a box lock, where can I go to buy one?
Yeah. So on the business side, talk to me, Andrew at getboxlock.com. On the B2C side, Amazon, Home Depot, or Ace Hardware.
Oh, okay. So I can just go to the store and get one of these. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Awesome. So, Andrew, thank you so much for joining me today. And we'll definitely put all that information up on the newwarehouse.com as well, so people can see how to get one and also take a look at it as well. So thank you.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lawton. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want more content from the New Warehouse, check out our new video series called All Hands on LinkedIn. Just search for the New Warehouse on LinkedIn and follow along.